The BS Report is presented by Subway. Football season is over. Footlong season is just beginning. For a limited time, get any piled high regular footlong for just $5. Any footlong, just $5. Hurry in, Subway. Eat fresh. Eat fresh. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, this is part two of my podcast with ESPN.com's Matthew Berry. So much fantasy baseball talk to discuss that we have to split it up into two podcasts. So here's part two right now. Give me five guys that you really dislike. I just gave you one of mine, Jason Giambi.
Five guys I really dislike.
As a fantasy guy, not as a human being.
Oh, God. A.J. Burnett, I hate.
First year, new contract. Always does want a contract
here. This is a great stat that you'll love. Since this is from our great stats and research department.
Yeah.
Mike Mussina in 2001 is the last Yankees pitcher to be signed or traded for in the offseason to have a better statistical year in his first year with the Yankees than he did the year before. So not since 2002 has a guy in his first year with the Yankees as a starting pitcher had a better year than he did the year before. Now, they've had some, Randy Johnson in his first year as a Yankee had a pretty good year, but he wasn't as good as he was the year before.
I remember Clemens was terrible.
Yeah.
He had like a 460 ERA when they got him.
David Wells was good in 02, but he had been a Yankee before.
Yeah.
So, but.
Arabu.
Just any of them. Carl Pavano, Jarrett Wright, Kevin Brown, Javi Vasquez. The list goes on and on and on. Right? And Randy Johnson and some other guys. I think Sabathia is going to be fine, but you look at A.J. Burnett, he's thrown more than 200 innings, I think only twice in his career.
Yeah.
He's won more than 12 games only once. Last year, his ERA and WHIP were the highest they've been in 5 years.
Yeah.
He's injury prone, big contract, New York City. It ain't Florida and Toronto.
AJ
Burnett is a guy I do not like.
I also, that's a really interesting stat, and I'd also love to see the stats, because going back to Sabathia, going from the NL back to the AL, or just being in the NL, then going to the AL as a pitcher, it's got to be just more bad than good, I would guess the examples.
The average ERA is like a run higher in the AL, because you're not facing the pitcher.
Not facing the pitcher, and the offenses, I think, are a little bit better.
Yeah.
So the parks are a little bit more against your favor for the most part.
Burnett has won more than 12 games only once. And I'm not – that Yankee bullpen, I'm not buying, especially assuming Jabba's not in it.
It's the one advantage that the Red Sox have this year, like a real, real huge advantage, is their bullpen versus the Yankees' bullpen.
All right. Here's
another, their setup guys stink.
Here's another guy I hate.
Yeah.
Hate's a relative term because it all depends on where you get them, right?
Yeah.
But, A.J. Burnett's a guy that's going around the same area as, like, Adam Wainwright, Scott Kazmir, John Lester, any of whom I'd like. Mm-hmm. Zach Greinke, Yovani Gallardo. I'd rather have any of those guys than A.J. Burnett. Carlos Zambrano is a guy I hate. Strikeout rate's gone down for 3 straight years. His inning pitched have gone down for 3 straight years. Last year, after the All-Star break, 5.80 ERA. Over the final 2 months, Zambrano had a no-hitter. And even when you include the no-hitter, his ERA over the final 2 months, 7.28.
Wow.
Over the since 03, there are only 7 pitchers that have pitched more innings than Carlos Zambrano. And it's guys like, some of the guys are LeVon Hernandez, just like these rubber-armed innings eaters that you wouldn't want to touch. A couple of them are like, Brandon Webb and Johan Santana, great guys. But anyway, I just think Zambrano, like every sign is just red flag city. When your strikeout rate is going down that much and he's thrown that many innings, I don't know. I'm just very nervous about it.
Well, wouldn't you say like that beyond him, like that whole Cubs team looks a little shaky? Because you got Rich Harden you know, Lord knows he can throw 60 innings and be shut down.
He could be
year.
Shut down.
They had that weird Dempster closer a fluke? Situation.
Is Dempster a fluke? I mean, I do like Ted Lilly. I do think Dempster is somewhat legitimate, but sure. I mean, you could certainly ask that. I mean, they've got Kevin Gregg, who I actually like as the closer there, and Marmol to get him there. I think their bullpen's better than you think, and it's a pretty good offense. But
they got Milton Bradley, who always has 2 good months, and then something weird happens.
I'll give you a good sleeper on that team is Mike Fontenot at second base. Guy's gonna hit probably 280 with double digit home runs and steals.
Consider Mark DeRosa a sleeper at third base?
With Cleveland now? I don't think he's a sleeper because I think people really like him, and I think last year was his career year, actually. Mm. I don't think he's a sleeper. I think he's actually a little overvalued. I think last year is what he is. That's last year's best case scenario for Mark DeRosa, and I don't like to pay for career years.
I'm with you on that, but I wonder if he's just a late bloomer. That's what makes him a sleeper. You know what I mean?
No, but who's...
He's somebody that people assume is a
sleeper. No one's sleeping on him. I mean, he's not... Last year, he was a sleeper. This year, I mean, what could he do beyond what he did last year?
Don't you think people still value him as just like a near the middle of the end of the draft type of guy?
No. I mean, it depends on what size league you're in. But, I mean, I think most people know, you know, exactly who he is.
All right. Keep going with guys you hate.
All right. Derek Jeter. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, listen, so many reasons to hate Derek Jeter. We can start with the fact that, you know, he's got 8 of the top maximum 100 or something like that. Did you see that ridiculous list?
I'm surprised the number's that low.
That's, I think, the only the ones we know about.
Yeah. No, he's probably really at 28. That's the real number.
It's outrageous. Yeah. But stats-wise, okay, he's a guy, there's always some guy, and when I talked about how much I hated Derek Jeter, like I got a lot of comments and emails just saying like, oh, he's a great captain, he's all these amazing things and blah, 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 whatever. You know what? Whatever, however clutch he is, the fact remains there were 8 shortstops last year who had more home runs than Derek Jeter. There were 11 shortstops who had more stolen bases. His batting average, which is always his big calling card, has been down for 3 straight years. Now it's it's still good, but he's a 300 hitter now as opposed to like a 330.
Yeah.
And he's currently going 4th among shortstops. After, you know, Reyes, Ramirez, and Jimmy Rollins. Not in that order, of course. I'd much rather have Rafael Furcal. I'd rather have Stephen Drew, who I love this year. I'd rather have Troy Tulowitzki, who I love this year. Derek Jeter is like the epitome of all name and no production. He's fine. I mean, you know, listen, good average, double-digit steals and stolen bases is what he's going to get. But guess what? Orlando Cabrera is going to hit 280 with double-digit steals and stolen bases, and it'll cost you about $20 less or about 12 rounds less.
I'm going to steal a comparison from my friend Mike Mendelson, who runs my American League Only Fantasy League.
Go ahead.
He said Derek Jeter is Placido Polanco with 5 more homers.
I think that's right. Yeah. And 5 more steals.
Yeah, I guess. Well, he gets caught. See, ours it's a, like a plus, like total steals and then minus what you got caught.
Right.
So Polanco was +6 last year and so was Jeter. So that canceled out. Everything else is basically the exact same.
Yeah.
Kind of weird when you think about it. Like, Jeter for maybe 2-3 years now just hasn't been a fantasy guy. Right. He's been a run-of-the-mill shortstop for the most part. I mean, obviously better, but, yeah, because 2 years ago, it was 322, 388 on base, 452 slugging, 12 homers, 73 RBIs, 15 stolen bases. That was 2007.
Right. The fact that people are taking Jeter ahead of a guy like Stephen Drew or Troy Tulowitzki or Rafael Furcal is insane to me.
Yeah, that is insane. It's insane. I would even rather have Michael Vilas. I'll go that far.
I would agree with you. Yeah. I would agree with you because you have some power potential there.
You know, and Michael Vilas, of course, the shortstop on my own, the team I'm supporting other than the Red Sox. Yeah, the 2009 Royals. Yeah.
Well, you know I hate David Ortiz, but we did this ad infinitum on the former podcast. But listen, walk, slugging percentage, home run, RBIs down for 3 straight years. No Manny.
All valid points.
I hate JD Drew. Another guy. He's like Derek Jeter, a guy who's a big name. He's never hit more than 20 home runs for you. He's hit more than 20 home runs only twice in his entire career. Had a terrible second half last year. He's just, whatever. He's terrible.
JD Drew's getting cortisone shots in his back. I don't know if you're going out on a limb on that one.
People like him. People still draft him. Ryan Howard is a guy that I'm not high on this year. Well, because, again, it's all about value, right? If you can get Ryan Howard in the late third, fourth round, I'm fine with it. But for a guy that's going in the first or early second round, Look, three straight years, his batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, and strikeout-to-walk rate have gone down. Yep. Last year before the All-Star break, he hit .234. He just buried you in batting average. It's so hard to dig a hole out of that. His last 3 years before the All-Star break, his average is .255. He's traditionally a very slow starter. If you're going to own Ryan Howard this year, the way to do it is to try to trade for him on June 1st.
It's a fun strategy.
Yeah,
I like that one.
Just let someone else take Ryan Howard. They'll get frustrated with him because the guy's going to strike out all the time. Guys like me will say, like, hey, try to trade for Ryan Howard. But whatever you pay for Ryan Howard on June 1st, even if people are expecting the uptick, it still will be less than what you had to pay to get him on draft day.
BJ Ryan, why would anybody draft him?
They need a closer.
Yeah, but he's throwing 87 miles an hour right now. This is going to end badly. Shouldn't you rather draft Scott Downs?
Yeah, I think Scott Downs is probably the guy there. I mean, they've got a lot of guys. They've got a Cardo who's pitching terribly, but he's in the bullpen.
All those guys stink.
Carlson. I think it's spring. It's just building up arm strength. I took BJ Ryan in Tout Wars, in AL Tout Wars, because I thought his price was too low.
Well, it's too low for a reason.
Well, I disagree. I think I think he'll be just fine when all is said and done. I'm not worried about it. I mean, Jabba was pitching low, and now he hit 96 on the gun the other day. It's spring training.
Yeah, BJ Ryan had a reconstructed elbow or whatever he had. What was his injury?
He pitched fine. It was 2 years ago. He pitched fine last year. BJ Ryan was very good last year.
Who is your candidate? You know that kind of category that I love, that the guy that everybody kind of stops thinking about, like the Marvin Harrison type. Actually, Marvin Harris is too good. Like Chipper Jones last year, the guy that had an established level of play for a few years, mid-30s, suddenly has that one giant last year, career year.
Like Aubrey Huff last year?
Yeah, Chipper Jones as well. Who do you think for this year?
Well, I don't know. I'll give you two. Chris Carpenter. I think Chris Carpenter is going to have a monster year.
Nice one. That's a good one.
This spring, he's been absolutely lights out. His first 19 innings of spring, zero earned runs. He finished the spring with taping of this, I think his ERA is just barely over two. He's just been lights out. And last year, you know, he had three late starts in the season that no one really paid attention to, but he had a 1.88 ERA in three late starts. Guy won 51 games in through 04 through 06. So I think Carpenter's in for a monster year. And Randy Johnson.
The unit!
Last year, after the All-Star break, Randy Johnson had a fantastic K rate. All the underlying numbers were great. He was really good after the All-Star break last year. Now he's going to San Francisco. Great ballpark. It's a good division to pitch in. He's going to get to pitch in Dodger Stadium. He's going to get to pitch in Petco. And, you know, he doesn't have to be the guy. That's Tim Lincecum and Matt Cain. I mean, he's going to be going up against, like, number four starters a lot of the time.
You know, Barry Zito has been described in spring training as lights on.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Yeah, please try the curly fries. Bill Simmons, ladies and gentlemen. He is your sports guy.
How does he still have a job? I mean,
because they're paying him $128 million.
I know, but at this point, it's a sunk cost, and all he's doing is just depressing your fans every time he comes out. Like, you just have to get him out. He's this lingering black cloud over everything that happens.
I got two other guys for you.
Okay.
Well, you want sleepers or you want guys I don't like?
Whatever you want to do.
All right, thanks. Well, Joe Mauer's a guy that I don't like at all.
I would hope not. He's hurt.
Well, no, but listen, I'm still seeing people draft him. I think there's a chance Joe Mauer gets less than 200 bats this year.
Yeah, stop drafting Joe Mauer.
It's ugly. And the thing is, the only good part about Joe Mauer is his batting average, right?
Yeah.
And if you're not going to get a ton of at-bats out of that batting average, it's completely useless.
Yes.
If you get a guy who goes 1-for-2, he's hitting .500, but all he's done is go 1-for-2. It doesn't help you. Like, there's an extreme example, but, like, I'm just not a big, you know, why are you going to draft an injury-prone a guy who's batting average dependent, who doesn't play a lot of games anyway because he's a catcher and now he's hurt? It's just, but people are still drafting him as the number four catcher behind McCann, Martin, and Soto.
Stop drafting Joe Mauer.
Thank you. Here's a question for you, Mr. AL Only League.
Yeah. I'm ready.
A-Rod.
I think it's funny. We have an auction format, and normally,
what do you think A-Rod goes for?
Well, normally, he would have, put it this way, he would have been kept at 41.
Right.
And this is a 260 salary cap, so he would have been the highest priced guy, or maybe Miguel Cabrera. He's in one of the two. So, what do we think? Late May he comes back?
Yeah, probably late May, early June. I think they rush him back.
But we have a keeper league, so I think he should go for high 20s in our league just because you're getting him next year for 28 or whatever, and he becomes the best bargain. at anybody. If it's not a keeper league, does he go for more than 20?
He went for 25 last night in my this 19-team auction that I did the other night.
And, no keepers?
No keepers. It's a one-year-only league. I think it's a mistake. I mean, I think there's a chance A-Rod doesn't play this year or plays very, very little.
My whole thing with that, and this is a strategy I've always tried to use in whatever fantasy league I'm doing. If I'm going to roll the dice with somebody like that, that's it. I'm putting the dice away after that roll, and I'm taking all normal picks after that. You can't, like, pick A-Rod and then also have John Lackey and then also have B.J. Ryan. Like, you really have to make a decision.
I disagree with that.
Really?
Because here's my thing. I think you either play safe or you play risky. Because by taking A-Rod, right, you're going fairly risky early on. That's a big risk because you're going to have to spend probably $25, or he's currently still going at the end of the third round in a lot of our drafts.
But you just said he's going too high, though.
I agree with it. I wouldn't touch him. He's not going to be on any of my teams. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. But what I'm saying is that if you're going that route, you might as well go all risky. No one remembers who finishes second. Okay? Like, I'll go for it. I don't care if I finish 10th or second. If I don't win, who cares? No one remembers. No one cares if you finish second. It's whether you win the league or not. That's what we're all playing for. So if you're going with that mentality and you're going to roll the dice on A-Rod, you might as well roll the dice on all of them.
Yeah, but if you're going to roll the dice on other guys, then it should be low bargain guys, not like with the A-Rod. That's a high price risk.
Well, exactly.
That and B.J. Ryan and suddenly be paying $50 for these two guys that might not play for you.
Right.
That's bad.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
Is the sky blue? Does water turn to ice when you freeze it?
That's my expert opinion.
Yeah. Very impressive. Ladies and gentlemen, ESPN.com's Bill Simmons.
I'll be here all week.
I mean, my argument about A-Rod is that, you know, we have Stefania Bell, who's like this, our great injury expert, and, you know, she's been all over this A-Rod thing. And basically, what he should have had was the Chase Utley surgery, right? But because the Yankees are so freaked out, they had him do this, like this Band-Aid kind of thing. And as a Red Sox fan, you know what it looked like when Mike Lowell was bobbling around last year, right?
Still is.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they're doing this, and now he's going to come back. And we know A-Rod is fairly fragile. We know A-Rod will not have had spring training. So he's going to be out there for a month, basically, trying to play his way into shape. A lot of his fantasy value comes from the fact that he steals bases, and now he's not going to be able to steal any bases with that hip.
Right.
If he starts struggling, is he going to be like, my hip's not right? Then you've got the whole steroids thing. Is that story still got legs? Because, you know, the Selena Roberts book is coming out at some point soon. And my guess is, like, there's more in the book. I don't think the book is going to be just a longer version of the article. You know what I mean? I'm guessing there's really good stuff in the book.
I've heard there's more.
Sure there's more in the book. Yeah. And then his personal life.
Yeah.
Rod is back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, there's just so many things about him.
I got to disagree with one thing, though.
Okay.
A-Rod has been astoundingly durable. You made it seem like he gets hurt a lot.
I mean, he's somebody
that cranks out 162-game seasons.
Absolutely. But my point is 2 years ago, last year?
Last year he missed like 20
years. Yeah,
but for the most part, he's in the 150s, 160s every year.
Yeah, no, he is. But my argument is that if he struggles, and A-Rod's like, you know, he's an injury risk because it's basically the surgery is basically a Band-Aid.
So
my point is there's a chance that, like, the Band-Aid pops and they got to shut him down for the entire year. Because if he's got to have the second part of the surgery, he's done.
You're preaching to the choir. Yeah. And I'll throw one more thing at you.
Okay.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Preaching to the choir. We were talking about A-Rod.
Preaching to the choir. I forgot
about
what
health,
I was going to
health.
Say. I can't remember.
All right. I will say I do, for people that say I'm a Yankee hater, which I am, by the way, in my fan life, you know, I'm an Angels guy.
Yeah.
I hate the Yankees, but I will say I think there's actually a lot of nice value this year fantasy wise on the Yankees.
Cano.
I think Robinson Cano has a big year.
Yeah.
You know, Robinson Cano hit like 295, after May 1st last year.
What he about Brett Gardner?
Love Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner is going to steal 30 bases this year. So he's going to get the majority. I think Xavier Nady is very underrated.
Totally.
So, I mean, I think there's actually some real nice value there on the Yankees. I think, you know, obviously I love Jabba. I think Jabba is going to have a dominant year. Really like him. I think Chin-Ming Wong is going really undervalued in a lot of drafts. He doesn't strike guys out.
Agreed.
But
gets wins.
He's going to get wins. He's going to have a low ERA and whip. So I think there's some nice fantasy value to be had on the Yankees. And speaking of fantasy value in the AL East, as long as we'll, you know who I like on your team?
Yeah.
I think Brad Penny and John Smoltz are going to be great this year.
When Smoltz comes back.
Yeah, he comes back in June.
I like Brad Penny as well. For me personally, it's somebody that I can't draft because I have so much at stake with him.
Right.
That to also put that on my fantasy team is too much. Every Brad Penny start, I'd be a wreck.
Right.
So I'm going to stay away, but I do think he's looked very good in spring training. And you know, the thing that people don't realize with the Red Sox, I mentioned it before, they have an excellent bullpen. So maybe somebody like Dice, who you normally say, ah, he only throws 5-6 innings. Fine. This year, if he throws 6 innings and they're good innings, the bullpen will win and he's going to win 25 games.
Right.
So, you know, that's not necessarily bad. You know, I think Dice is a good value.
The guy who started the All-Star game a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Dice is a good value and he looked great in the WBC.
No, you're crazy on that one. Dice is not a good value.
Oh, I think he is. I think he's the number two starter in the AL.
Oh, are you curious? Did you see, like, how many people he walked last year?
I'm saying I think this is going to be his best year, a career year for him.
Really?
I really think that. And it has nothing to do with, you know, I know you're basing on last year's stuff, but, you know, this is a guy that nibbled around the plate all the time. And that was the biggest issue with him. And he worked up these huge pitch counts over 5 innings because he just wouldn't throw over the plate and let his stuff win the game. And he's had, like, a character transformation. I watch him in WBC. I've been watching him in spring training. This guy's throwing strikes down. He's challenging hitters, and I think he's a different guy. So there you go.
Last year, he led the league in walks.
I know,
because
he was nibbling.
He led the league in walks. His strand rate was so lucky last year.
He was nibbling. I'm telling you.
Okay, fine. You can say he's nibbling, and he dominated the World Baseball Classic. You know who else dominated the World Baseball Classic? Ian Snell.
I'm just saying he's had a character adjustment in terms of how he pitches. And I've seen
it. What is that? I don't even know what that means, a character adjustment.
Because you wouldn't understand because you weren't watching him start in and start out. This
character
was a
adjustment.
Guy that
now
was afraid.
Now he's brave out there. What? And now he's emotional?
He was afraid to throw a strike. He was trying to throw the perfect pitch. Every pitch he threw.
He had 154 strikeouts in 167 innings last year. He's a strikeout guy. He wasn't afraid to throw strikes.
He was
he
a
just
strikeout.
Can't.
Now, see, you don't understand. Every Red Sox fan listening right now is nodding, going, yes, he's right. He was a guy that instead of just throwing it over the middle of the plate and daring people to hit it, he was trying to throw the perfect pitch that you could not hit.
Of course, because every Red Sox fan, especially the ones that are fanatical about you, are always very objective in their analysis of the team. Mr. Carvin Garnett should be the MVP of the NBA last year.
You're not even listening to me.
I am listening to you.
No, you're
I'm
not
telling
listening.
You, you're insane that Daisuke's not even the best pitcher on the Red Sox, let alone the second best pitcher in the AL.
You're not listening to me. Let's make this another $10 bet. I will bet you that Daisuke wins 20 games.
Done. Done and done.
And I will also bet you for another $10 that he throws 200 innings this year.
Wow. Mr. Six Inning? I'll take that bet. Done. Done.
Okay.
All done. I'm winning $30 for you. You'll have to regrow the Fu Manchu.
You watch what happens with Dice K this year. I'm not being a Red Sox homer because I actually think Josh Beckett's going to have a bad year.
I'm very worried
about the offense. I feel good about.
If I win all three of these bets.
Yeah.
Instead of the $30, which believe me, I could use. But instead of the $30, I want you to record. Hi, this is Bill Simmons, the sports guy. I bow to the genius of Matthew Berry.
Wait, we have to make more bets, though.
That's what I want you to do. I want you to record that drop, and we'll play it on my podcast.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Total number of innings, Santana, Lackey, Escobar, what is the over-under for that bet? I'm not saying we make it. I'm saying if Vegas made an over-under for that bet, what would it be?
500.
I was thinking 450.
450?
Like
449.5? 449.5. If you set it at 449.5, I'll take the over.
What about 500?
No, because I don't think Santana. Oh, you know what? Because I thought you were talking Johan Santana for some, not Irvin Santana.
I'm talking about your top three Angels guys.
Yeah, top three Angel guys. I think Lackey throws 160. Same with Escobar. So now you're at 300. I don't think Santana pitches this year, really. I think he's going to get shut down. So, if you had Johan, then yeah, of course. But
he's my prize keeper, Santana, in my AL league with Hench.
It's not good, dude. It's not good with him.
Well, when they start talking about the elbow ligament that is the ligament commonly associated with Tommy John surgery,
it's
and
bad.
they're hoping rest makes it feel better, it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, he's we're done. Screwed. Yeah.
The only thing that saves me about Lackey here is that it's a contract year. That he's a pretty tough guy, and it's a contract year. Mm. So, I mean, it's by the way, the wear and tear on the arm is why the Angels didn't want to give him the long-term deal, but I think Lackey is going to be like, you know what? Screw it. Give me the ball. I'm going to go earn my money. I'm going to show everyone I'm healthy.
Let's talk closers really quick because we're actually past the one-hour mark and real time.
You're convinced everyone's going to – half of this is getting cut.
Yeah, with the 15 minutes edits, we're nearing the 50-minute mark. So
All right.
I want to talk about closers really quick because I think this has to be maybe the strangest fantasy season ever for closers.
There are.
I don't remember a less reliable collection of closers in both leagues. I mean, in the AL, it's a disaster.
Well, and this is always my point, right? Is like, this is why I say you don't pay for saves. Because saves always come in the league. Right? I mean, just in the past couple of days, right? I mean, Joey Devine now is going to visit Dr. James Andrews as of we're taping this on a Wednesday. Like,
yeah.
You know, it could change by the time this gets posted tomorrow, right? But, Brad Ziegler is going to start out the year as the closer in Oakland.
My man Brad Ziegler. We have him.
Right. But I still think, by the way, if you're looking for an end game like dollar guy, Santiago Casilla.
Yeah.
Because I think that you could still see them wanting to have Ziegler in the 7th-8th inning. And if Devine is, you know, who's never been able to stay healthy, isn't in there, I could see Casilla getting some saves.
Well, what did Brad Ziegler do to lose that job, by the way? Other than just get
nothing.
Guys out every single
yes.
time he came out.
He did nothing wrong. It was just a matter of they thought he'd be more valuable in a Scott Shields type role.
I got to say something.
Because Devine can't go more than an inning because he's, you know, fragile.
I think visiting Dr. James Andrews should be something, a phrase that's said like when you're about to break up with your girlfriend or something.
Right.
How'd it go? Well, we're going to go visit Dr. James Andrews tomorrow, and that just means it's probably over.
You're going to have to talk.
You're not sure how it's going to work out, but you probably know.
Right. Right. Well, it's I think it's more like not the breakup, but it's just like the one last gasp.
Yeah.
You know, hey, has Becky forgiven you about you and the stripper?
No.
We're gonna go visit Dr. James Andrews tonight.
And it's a 3-hour conversation that ends with the girl in tears.
Yeah.
Seattle's closer,
Brandon Morrow.
See, I think he lasts 3 weeks before he gets hurt.
Nah.
That guy can't stay healthy.
The fact that he is going to be in the bullpen, I think, is helpful.
He's the king of the forearm strain.
I didn't know there was a competition.
No, he is. Well, there isn't because he's the king.
He's the king.
There's no prince. I can't think of the prince, but hey, he's always hurt.
Justin Duke sure might be king of the forearm strain.
He might be.
He's up there. You know what? I mean, listen, the rest of them, throw a dart. Although if you want a deep, deep sleeper, Chad Cordero, you know, they signed him to a minor league deal, which was interesting.
That's an interesting one, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, he'll be up by probably mid-season. So,
what about
Texas?
So you sold on Francisco?
I'm sold on Frank Francisco. He's never done a full four season, but I think he's got the skill set. They want him to do it. Obviously, C.J. Wilson there. Fernando Rodney was just named the closer in Detroit. He's going to get the first save opportunity there. I know.
No, that's going to end well.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
there's some terrible – I mean, it's almost like you're better off not having a closer than having these guys.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying is that you can always find saves on the waiver wire. This is why I say you never pay for saves. Saves always come into the league.
Do you trust Gary Wood?
I trust him. I hope he can stay healthy. But, yeah, I trust Kerry Wood. He did it last year. I think moving to the bullpen helped him. Helped him a great deal.
See, I feel like
Lindstrom is back for the Marlins. He's going to close there.
Yeah. How about Chicago Cubs?
Kevin Gregg. And Kevin Gregg's going to keep that gig. I'd say he saves 30 games this year.
I like the strategy, and it depends how deep your league is. But, man, if you bang out some of, like, the Juan Pena and Rafael Perez types – and you're just kind of hoping that the closer either gets hurt or whatever. Not a bad strategy.
No.
Get a couple of those guys.
Aaron
Dondo.
Yeah, Aaron Dondo. Listen, Jason Mott in St. Louis, right? I mean, you know, there's always guys, there's these cheap guys you can get. George Sherrill and Chris Ray in Baltimore, I think they split the job there.
I kind of like Chris Ray.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they want Cheryl to have the job. It's his job to lose, but
yeah.
I like Chris Ray. I actually like Baltimore this year.
Interesting.
Listen, I think Adam Jones is going to have a breakout year. Luke Scott had a very underrated year there. Obviously, you've got Markakis. Ryan Friel is like their fourth outfielder. He's going to steal 15, 20 bags for a buck at the end of your AL-only draft. You've got Ty Wigginton on the bench. You know Ty Wigginton hit 15 home runs after the All-Star break last year?
Wow.
I like Aubrey Huff. I don't think last year was a total fluke. I think Aubrey Huff hits another 25 home runs. They've got Matt Wieters waiting to come up in June. Brian Roberts at second, obviously. You've got Mora at third base, who's had at least 80 RBIs three of the last 4 years. And then Cesar Isturiz, who stole like 20 bases last year at shortstop. From a fantasy perspective, there's a lot of like nice little value in Baltimore.
Is there a third Isturiz? Are they going to compete with the Molinas?
No, I think they're done. Meiser and Cesar, and there's the three Molinas. So it's 3-2.
Any thoughts on the guy in my AL draft who protected Meiser Isturiz at $4?
What were his other options?
Yeah, just not protecting him and not wasting $4 on him
yeah,
as a keeper.
Yeah, that's bad.
Actually, he could have protected Mariano Rivera at 24. We've been giving him some guff.
I don't blame you. Because here's the thing about keepers. Like, it's not a bad price for Meiser at Sturz. It's not great. He's probably worth like $2 or something in an AL, only $2 or $3.
Yeah.
But it's like, really, $4? You could have gotten him back for that.
Yes.
And that $4 will become helpful at some point in the season. By the way, one last guy that I absolutely love, I have to mention because I've been talking about him forever, Shin-Soo Choo.
This year's Francoeur.
Right. Yeah, we talked about him last time. God, I love him.
I got to ask you this one thing that we did in our league.
Okay.
We had Miguel Cabrera at $39.
Uh-huh.
We count on-base over batting.
Got it.
So it's a little more valuable. Although his on-base wasn't great last year, but normally it's really good. A-Rod out. If he plays one inning at third base this year, he becomes eligible there. And we also thought he was going to have a career year, and we were ready to spend 43 if that's what it took to get him in the auction. So we just said, screw it, we're going to keep him at 39.
Love it.
Do you agree with that logic?
I paid 38 for him in AL Tout Wars, which isn't a keeper league. I've been on record. I think Miguel Cabrera could win the Triple Crown this year.
I am so down on that.
Listen,
thank you.
I love Cabrera last year. Last year, after give him a half a season to adjust to Detroit and the AL, right?
And he did.
After the All-Star break last year, 304, 26 home runs. He ended up last year, people forget this, he ended up last year setting career highs in home runs and RBIs. And you know he's going to hit 300 this year. That's a very good offense around him. Love Cabrera this year.
And I think he turns 26 this season,
yeah,
so he's
it's
entering,
ridiculous.
Which means he's 28 in real life, but he's in that window of when guys take off.
Right, yeah, 28, 29 in real life. I wish we could do that where we could just like go back in age. Hey, I'm 25.
I thought about doing that once when I had my old site.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if a mainstream site signs me, I'll be more marketable if I'm 26 when I was really 30. I did think about it. I didn't do it though. Hey, I just called up most regular season homers.
Yeah.
I bet on a website that we won't name.
Okay.
And Miguel Cabrera is 10-1.
10-1. You know what? I might take that bet because I don't think it's Ryan Howard this year. I think it might be Prince Fielder, and I think it might be Pujols, and it might be Cabrera. I actually think that's a pretty good bet.
Ryan Howard is 3-1.
Right.
I'm just going to give you the Pujols is 12-1. Longoria is 12-1. I like that one too. I don't think he's going to hit more than Miguel Cabrera. I'd be surprised. And then Prince Fielder 12-1, Ryan Braun 10-1.
See, I think Prince Fielder. 2 years ago, the guy hit 50, and now that he's figured out how to hit without meat, I think
so
Prince Fielder. I would take Prince Fielder at 12-1. I think that's a pretty good bet too.
What about putting a little down on Miguel Cabrera and Prince Fielder?
I have no problem with that. No issue with that, Bill. Bet away.
Well, how about if Miguel Cabrera ends up on my beloved Boston Red Sox in 3 months, and all of a sudden he's in Fenway Park?
God.
That's your worst nightmare.
It's not my worst nightmare. You know whose worst nightmare it is? All of your readers. Because then we're going to have an entire month of, like, Miguel Cabrera love columns. Manny who? It's going to be a whole sports guy about Miguel Cabrera.
I resent that. I just want that for the record.
Are you sure you resent that or you represent that?
I don't think I've written a Boston column since last September. How about that?
I think if you never write another Boston column for the rest of your life, you're still way ahead of the game.
How dare you?
Don't you think? I mean, you are the Boston sports guy.
I've been pretty good the last 7 months about keeping the Boston out. I've been proud of myself.
But, well, no, but don't you think the reason you've been able to keep the Boston out is you don't actually write anymore? And you just do podcasts?
I wasn't going to mention that. I'm back. My book's done. I'm coming back in a frenzy.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, have you thank discussed God. The national nightmare's over.
Yeah. Have you discussed, by the way, on the podcast, because, you know, I only listen when I'm on.
Yeah.
Have you discussed on the podcast the alternate titles for your book?
That's a footnote.
Oh,
it's
is
a
it?
Footnote in the book. I don't want to spoil it.
Okay, then I won't.
I did
say.
Mention the one I did mention that I'm still devastated that we couldn't do is Tuesdays with Horry.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
That was my favorite. But yeah. I don't want to spoil the footnote. Yeah, there's like 30 titles or something that ended up not making the cut.
But yeah, no.
Anyway, give me one last prediction. Could be anything.
Elijah Dukes goes 25-25.
Is that a prison sentence?
No,
Oh, those 25 are
home runs, 25 home runs, 25 steals for Elijah Dukes this year. Bold prediction.
Oh, I thought you were talking about prison.
Look, guy hit 13-13 in 81 games last year, half a season, right? He needs to stay healthy, but he's only 25. He needs to keep his head on, you know, straight. Needs to not be crazy, but yeah, I'm saying he does it. He puts it together for a full year. This is the year he does it.
Alex Gordon?
You know what? I like Gordon. Other people like him more than me. I think he's okay.
I think we all have to admit that maybe he's not as good as we thought he was going to be.
He'll probably be one of the. You know what will happen is people will give up to him. He'll be like Beltre. People have been waiting for him for so long, and then in 2 years, he's going to explode with like some monster crazy year, like Beltre did.
At some point, you got to show us some flashes. Like Longoria, that's what I loved about Longoria last year. He showed us what we needed to see. You know what I mean? he gave us a glimpse of what the future would bring. And
a glimpse?
Up,
guy had like almost 30 home runs. He had like 26 home runs. He was
that's
great.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He did in the playoffs, too. He was good in the playoffs.
He
showed us that this was a sign of what's going to happen, whereas Alex Gordon, it's like, oh, if he could do that. Like, at some point, just you got to do it.
Rays were not a fluke, by the way, last year. B.J. Upton and Carl Crawford are going to have big years.
I'm glad Crawford was one of the guys I was hoping we'd mention at some point. I agree. From what I've read, it just seems like he was not happy with last year and really wants to.
No, he changed his workout in the offseason. Yeah. Like I talked to Buster, who spent a lot of time with Crawford, and you know, Buster's word is good enough for me. And Buster's very excited. Like he last year he used to work out on he worked out on turf, and he thinks it hurt his knees, so he's worked on a grass. Anyway, he changed his whole routine, and he's bulked up, and anyway, you know. So he's, you know, I think Crawford's in for a big year.
I agree with you, and the thing I like about him is that I actually feel like he cares.
Yes.
I think he is a super competitive guy who had a crap season, had a lot of stupid things go wrong and a couple nagging injuries, and I feel like he's going to atone.
And B.J. Upton, a lot of people have freaked out, but, you know, he was hurt all last year. That's where the power went. You saw the power come back in the playoffs, and this little hand injury thing is nothing. He'll be back within a week and be fine, and the power's going to come back this year along with the speed.
I also have one random Ray that I like, and maybe because he's on my keeper team.
Uh-huh.
But I like Dionir Navarro.
He's fine. He's a catcher. He's all right.
No, I mean, he's
whatever.
You think you know what you're getting from him? You think this guy is going to hit 290 with 10 homers? Yeah. I actually think he might be better than that. Mm. I think he could hit 305 with 17 homers.
I think that's crazy.
I know. That's why I said I liked him.
All right, fair enough.
I think he's going to take a little tiny step up.
If you want a deeper sleeper on the Rays, Matt Joyce is going to be part of a platoon there. He can hit.
Familiar with his work.
Yeah. I mean, he hit last year, and you know, not a lot of time with Detroit. Really like him.
I'd also like to suggest somebody that I don't like.
Okay.
I think if you thought Jason Veritek was bad last year, he's going to be worse this year.
Now, see, I think Veritek is one of these guys that is so, you know, downgraded that he's actually valued. Like I got him for $1 in an AL only league. You don't think he can hit 250 with 15 home runs?
No.
Joe Mead, who has been staring at the wall for the last hour and a half, who hasn't made one move, looked up on Veritek and shook his head no. I think Veritek can do 250.
So why don't you do your whole plug for fantasy baseball?
All right. Well, listen, you can still sign up. It's free. Free live scoring, auction draft capability. It's fully customizable. You know, some sites, they tell you to come there and they say like, hey, it's free. And then you get there and you have to play their way, or you get there and, oh, they don't actually have free live scoring. We do. It's all there. Streak for the cash. New streak starts. We're giving away $1 million definitely this time. So you should do it. You should do a sports guy group. Compete against the sports guy for streak for the cash. Like they did with Tournament Challenge.
Oh, that'd be fun. Maybe, you know what, I'll do, Joe, want to start a BS report group?
Sure.
Oh, there you go, yeah. Play streak for the cash.
Typical enthusiasm.
I support streak for the cash.
Okay, Joe. Joe, can you compile a list of least excited answers you've given over the last year? Sure.
Yeah.
Joe, can I send you $1 million? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
I'd love that.
Right, yeah.
No, I think we should have a BS support group because Jacko is killing everybody in the NCAA tournament group that we had.
Can I tell you, I did my own bracket and I had Memphis winning, so it's just a total, you know, crap. But I did one bracket where I decided to just pick every single favorite just to see. And it's like in the 96th percentile. Like all I did was just pick every single favorite.
I actually root for myself to do bad. Hey, one last question.
Yes, sir.
How is the quest to become the next Bachelor going?
It's going okay. I really could use your help.
Okay, what do you want me to do?
All right. Well, you have high powerful friends. You should do this. But have the sports gal do a little sidebar in one of your columns, or put a link to my online petition. One of the fans started an online petition, TMR for bachelor.blogspot.com. TMR.
Oh, everybody's remembering that one.
Hang on. TMR, the number four, bachelor.blogspot.com.
Well, can we just do this instead? All you have to do is go on Facebook.
Right.
You search for Matthew Berry, and a group comes up called Make Matthew Berry the New Bachelor.
Right.
Right now it has 244 members. We'll try to boost that up. And also, if you go there, you get a picture of Matthew Berry looking like the blind guy from American Idol. camera two. Yeah, I even took the picture. Yeah, so.
Would that be the greatest scandal in the history of modern world if it comes out he's not blind?
If he wasn't blind?
If he was not blind. The greatest, game show type scandal.
That would be
bigger than
awesome.
Quiz show.
And if
Can
the other guy, if his wife wasn't really deceased, that would be another great one. I've been watching for 3 years. And so this is my third season. Paula Abdul, and I know it's like it's not even fun to talk about how crazy she is and how insane she is on that show, but last night's performance was one for the ages. Or I should say Tuesday night.
Well, I have it on TiVo. I'm watching it tonight, so.
Her performance on Tuesday night was the most deranged, crazed performance I've ever seen on a television show in a live setting. Like, I did not know what was going to happen next with her.
She's bonkers.
She's off her rocker. It's unbelievable. Simon was just staring at her. It's in complete horror.
Yeah.
Not even knowing what to do by sitting next to her.
But you know what Paula Abdul is doing? Laughing all the way to the bank. Well, just like Skip. Because, I mean, listen, you like watching that show because she's such a train wreck.
No, I'm ready for her to go. And you know what? She is going to go next year. She will not be on that
Kara
show
has
next
not,
year.
Kara, if Kara was good, she'd be gone. But I don't think Kara's any good.
Oh,
I think the fans would rather have Paula. And
you're
by the way,
the thing with Kara, though, the girls, the ladies, the females, they all like her.
Really?
Yeah. My wife loves her. She's like, oh, she's so strong opinions, and she's so articulate. Like, she's into it.
Is that you think the women are embarrassed that Paul's the one representing them?
Very.
Interesting.
Very. She's a quivering train wreck.
Hey, are you like me? This is a good, like, kind of sports guy category. Like, you know, you were talking about boob virginity and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, the hot chick with a tattoo. Because I don't know that I can't remember a hotter chick that has then also sort of, you know, defaced herself. Like, cause you look at her, like, and you're just like, hot, hot, aw, man.
Oh,
like, you get
idol
to the
chick.
Arm. Yeah, the idol chick, the American Idol, the blonde, the Megan Joy.
Yeah.
Like, she's so crazy hot except for that horrible, ugly tattoo.
Here's the problem. We're old. There's a whole new generation of under 30 people who are used to tattoos.
Listen, I get tattoos. Look, Megan Fox has two tattoos. I got no problem with Megan Fox. Still like Anne Hathaway more, but I get tattoos. I don't have a problem with tattoos. There are many women that have tattoos that are hot, but this one is just god awful ugly. Everyone I've talked to agrees with me. And so I'm curious. Name another girl that is as hot as she is that has one really ugly feature.
I think to cover the arm in tattoos when you're that pretty should probably be against the law.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people like it now. I don't know. I'm old. I'm an old fart. I'm that guy in the late 60s who thought that the kids are growing their hair too long.
That's so sad.
Hey, well, that's what we are. We don't get the tattoo thing. It's like, why would you do that to your arm? It looks ugly. All right. But, and I know my daughter will end up having like six. So great.
yeah, no, she definitely will. All right. So when do you want to, we need to unveil the Fu Manchu. Do you want to come on the podcast after your AL only draft? You'll come on the fantasy podcast with me and Nate. We'll talk about your team and then, you'll reveal when you'll take the picture, the debut of your facial hair. Nate and I will talk tomorrow or we'll talk this week about what facial hair we want you to do.
You don't want me to grow like one of those like Unabomber type beards? Because I've done that before.
Yeah, see, I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, I've seen you in the Greg Popovich kind of style there.
Right.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I think it's got to be something really, really hideous.
That, all right, you discuss it with
Nate. That in a picture that, you know, then when the blogs write about you from now on, they'll just use that picture.
Oh, that'll be great.
Yeah.
All right.
One picture of me talking to a girl that was a friend of mine, and they use it constantly. That or the Giambi photo, that the Giambi parody photo that I took with me wearing the gold thong.
So that's they don't use the one from the Make Matthew Berry the New Bachelor group.
I'm saying, or the my A-Rod parody one. Did you see that where I'm kissing myself?
No, I didn't see
I'll
that
send you the link to that one. That was in one of my articles.
All right, Matthew Berry, good luck becoming America's next Bachelor. Thank you for all your fantasy.
Thank you, Bill. Always fun.
So I get the sound off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
And that concludes another episode of the BS Report. And here's 55 more words that Bill Simmons intended to mention, but unfortunately ran out of time. Now you can get any regular piled-high Subway footlong for just $5. The keyword is any. The sweet onion chicken teriyaki, savory chicken and bacon ranch, the meaty taste bud-pleasing Italian BMT. All the regular famous Subway footlongs, just $5. Subway, eat fresh. See store for details.